First reading this morning is from Hebrews, chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. But this one became a priest with an oath because of the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Accordingly, Jesus has also become the guarantee of a better covenant. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Hear the word of the Lord.
The gospel is from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have you ever had a moment when you've done something really, really not good, and having done something really, really not good, you've asked forgiveness and everybody's gone, that's okay. And then that night you're lying in bed going, "Oh, I did this," and it's still with you. Ever had that happen? Have you ever felt so bad about yourself that even though people have said it's okay, you're still carrying? Quite a lot of people in our world get caught in that place. It's called carrying shame. Even though the thing that you did might have been forgiven, we often carry the shame of what it is. And sometimes people carry shame for something that they've done nothing to get, like for illness. They carry shame. They say, they feel less than others. And sometimes people do tend to poke the finger, don't they? And they say, "Well, if you hadn't done this, then you wouldn't be sick, would you?" Ever had that one? Ever heard that one? Out there in the world. I know you live a perfect life, Mike. So you can always trust Mike. So you've got Edna behind you. You better watch out. She's just within striking distance. No. The thing is that our world carries a lot of shame. And a lot of our kids are living in a world that tends to hold on to stuff and carry shame. And social media takes that and turns it into a whole new weapon. Now, a little trigger warning, but one of the big issues that we see, which is happening not just in young people but in older ones as well, is this sense of self-harm that goes on. My sister did that, carrying so much shame about the life she was living, she used to come. Now, that's something which happens, and it's because we carry what is not ours. See, what the writer to the Hebrews is telling the Hebrew people and us is that when Jesus became the one who's high priest and went to the cross and died for us, he took everything with him. And our shame went with him. He doesn't want us to feel ashamed. He doesn't want us to carry that and then be so filled with the pain that even though we know it's over and done, it's still coming with us. I know with my sister, she carried those scars and she went looking for plastic surgery later on because the scars made her feel so ashamed. But you know what happened? Plastic surgeons did a little bit. Wasn't much, but it felt a bit better. When she came to Jesus, and she became a person who really understood that Jesus had taken everything to the cross and washed it clean with his blood, and she was clean. The shame left her, and so did the scars. God healed her. The only things left were a little bit up here, which she used to wear as a badge of honor. She'd make sure she wore sleeveless shirts and she'd say, "See, Jesus has healed me of this stuff. This horrible stuff that I carried all these years and hurt myself because of. He healed me and he can." That is a testimony the world needs to hear, and especially many of our young people who are carrying this thing. Look, this is one of our problems in society. It's a problem for us, but it was also a problem back in Jesus' day. There's the man named Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus is blind. And because he's blind, he can't work, can't do anything. So he sits by the side of the road, and the only way he can feed himself is to have begging, to sit there and beg. Now, because he's a beggar, he sits on the side of the road and he has a mantle, a cloak he puts around him, and that cloak keeps him covered during the day. It puts it up on sticks over his head to keep the shade over his head when it's sunny. He puts it over him when he's cold at night. It's all he's got. Most of the beggars lived this way, and they lived on the side of the road, and nobody looked at them except to give them something because, you know, good people give nice things to people who are maybe a bit not as well off. And so they do what they had to do. But Bartimaeus didn't matter to those people. And in his life, often people would say, "Well, you're blind because you sinned or because your parents sinned and this is a punishment." And so he would carry that shame in that society. So Bartimaeus sits on the side of the road and he hears the crowd and he knows they're there and he recognizes that that means that Jesus is coming. And Jesus is walking in a huge crowd of people. And have you ever tried to stop in the middle of a crowd of people? Jesus is walking along and Bartimaeus knows he's there. Now, Bartimaeus has got two choices. Sit in his beggar's mantle and say, "Alms for the poor," or, "Jesus, have mercy on me. I need your mercy." See, he doesn't say, "Jesus, I need your healing." He says, "Jesus, I need your mercy," because what he's dealing with is shame. Nobody should be ashamed of having an illness or being blind, right? But in that society, that was something that they did. "I need your mercy." And everybody's telling him to shut up because he doesn't matter. He's just a nuisance. He's making a whole lot of noise. And they're saying, "Look, just Don't bother the teacher. He's got other people to look after, not you. But Bartimaeus does not stop. Good on him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. The Bible says he stood still. That means he was walking along and he went, and everybody probably went, boom, 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 in the crowd around him, because that's what you do when you stop in a crowd, and they're all pressing in on him, because in amongst all that crowd of people, he heard one voice, one man who needed to be released from shame. And he said, bring him to me. Now, of course, Bartimaeus can't come to Jesus without help, so the same people who just told him to shut up now have to swallow their pride and go and pick him up and bring him, don't they? I like that. So they get Bartimaeus and they bring him to Jesus. And as he gets up, he throws off his beggar's mantle and he leaves it behind. And then he comes to Jesus. And Jesus gives him dignity. And how does he give him dignity? He's already given him the dignity of paying attention. Now he says, what would you like me to do for you? Now it's pretty flippin' obvious the man's blind, right? But Jesus allows him to say what he wants. He allows the one who has no voice to have a voice. He allows the one who is discounted to be counted. What would you like me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I love my sight. And Jesus says, be healed. Your faith has made you well. And immediately that man not only loses the blindness, but he also loses the shame. And how do we know that? Because he does not go back and pick that coat back up again. He doesn't need it anymore. He follows Jesus. He joins the crowd. He is now equal. And he joins the crowd. Now, we're real good at going back and picking up the mantle. That's what happens quite often. When we come to Jesus, he says, what do you want? We say, oh, I need to let this go. Please forgive me. He says, no worries. And quite often at that moment, we feel great and we're good. But that night, lying in bed, what do? We go back to being a beggar going, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I still feel bad about that thing. But you see, Jesus has already forgiven you. The writer of the Hebrews says that what Jesus did was perfect. There is nothing else you need to do. There is nothing else you need to do. You come to Jesus, we come to him and we say, Lord, have mercy. He says, what do you want? We say, forgive me, heal me, whatever it is. We come to him. And especially if it is forgiveness you are looking for, he will take that confession and he will wash you absolutely clean. And when Jesus washes you clean, you stay clean. Whatever he washed off doesn't get to come back. It is we who pick it back up again. If you've come to Jesus and asked for forgiveness, you're forgiven. You're washed. You're clean. You're allowed. You're heard. You're seen. Freedom of Jesus is freedom, true freedom. It's freedom you can't be taken away from you again. Once we become Jesus' person, we can go to him the next day and the next day and the next day, and he will still, the next day when we do the wrong thing again, I'm very good at this, put foot in mouth, take out, put the other foot back in. We all do it. But I can go the next day also and say, Lord, wash me clean. That was a really stupid thing to say. And he'll say, no worries. And it's done, finished, over. He doesn't want us walking around with it. That's why he took it to the cross. He didn't go through that so that we can continue to carry our pain. He wants us to put it down and receive from him the full healing that he won for us by his blood. And everything that Jesus did is so perfect. There is nothing any of us needs to do to add to it. We don't need to pray the perfect prayer. We don't need to wear the perfect clothing. We don't need to be absolutely beautifully coiffed. We don't need to rub out our tattoos and take out our earrings. We don't need to do that. We need only to come as we are. Bartimaeus was not required to go and have a shower before he could talk to Jesus, but I'll bet you he stank. God, he'd been sitting by the side of the road in his dirty rags for so long. Instead, Jesus just said, come. Everybody's going, okay. Jesus wants him and will do as he says because we know this is Messiah. They didn't really understand, but they knew it. They were following him because this was who he is. It's only after the cross that we really understand what he was doing. He was redeeming, that is, giving back to people what from what has been stolen, setting them free, giving it back, lifting them up, making them whole. We can do that with anything. And it does not matter what it is. Even if it's a secret, and the only person who knows what you've done is God, that's okay. You don't have to necessarily tell anyone else, but please tell him. He knows already. But when you go to him and you say to him, Lord, I did this. I still feel so bad about it. He's just wanting to say, what do you want me to do? Take it off me. Good. Hand it over. I took it to the cross. Hand it over. Leave the mantle behind. Now, God doesn't always do everything we want him to do. He's God. He's allowed to do his own thing. I've been praying for healing. As you can hear, I'm not there yet. But I'm better than I was. It's a happening thing. And it's happening to me. I could break into song, but I won't because I haven't got any voice to sing. However, I know I am a child of the living God. I am redeemed, free. I am clean. And every person here who's come to the Lord and said, Jesus, I want you to be my King and my God. Please make me clean. He's also clean in him. It's just we tend to soil our garments every day, so we've got to go and get them washed off a little. But that's okay. We're clean in the first place. We have a place. Hebrews is also telling us that we have a place with Jesus, and that place is eternal and will never, ever, ever go away. Once you have that place through faith, you don't lose that place unless you give it away. The only way you can lose it. We don't lose it any other way. Sometimes people do give it away, but even then Jesus is standing about this far behind him going, I'm here if you want to turn around. I'm here if you want to turn around. He loves them. But that's between him and them. We don't get to do the judging on these things, you know. He tells us not to do that because we start doing that, we start seeing exactly what's going on in our own heart. If you point a finger at somebody, there are three pointing back at you, yeah? So looking at our readings today, looking at Bartimaeus, this is the reason, for those of you who may have read the pew sheet, the reason why I put the poem that I wrote about Bartimaeus all those years ago in the pew sheet, because I sat there contemplating this man who needed the grace of God sitting by the side of the road. But today, if you've come in here and you're still carrying something, if you're here and right now you're sitting there saying, you're talking about me, Janice, there's something in my life that I need to lose. I'm having trouble with hating myself because I feel so bad about something I did or said or just the fact that I feel like everybody thinks that I'm terrible. Sometimes we take on shame and it doesn't belong to us at all.
But everybody else tells us how ugly we are, so we think we're ugly. We're not. You're always beautiful to Jesus. Remember that. If I'm talking about you today, that's because Holy Spirit wants you to know that Jesus wants to take that away from you. He wants you to know how much you matter to him. You may feel like you're sitting on the side of the road and the whole world would walk past you and nobody cares. But I tell you, Jesus' ear is tuned to your voice. So as we come into a time of prayer, let me invite you to come to him. And whatever it is that belongs to the beggar, give it to him. Because we are not beggars, we are children of the living God. Every one of us, no matter what age we are, no matter what background we have, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're wearing, no matter whether or not we've dragged ourselves to church this morning, and I don't want to go, but I suppose I should. We're here. And Jesus wants to do business with you today. Amen.